see it.
You.
Kohen HaGadol.
We are on page 60, top line. In Parshas Lech Lecha. The story until now is that Lot got a lot of properties, like Avram did, and they started fighting, because Lot said, it's my land, because Avram has no children, and therefore I'm going to inherit the land, and therefore he let his shepherds graze the flock without any muzzles, and Avram Avinu muzzled their stuff, and therefore they started a fight. So Avram basically says to Lot, okay, listen, we can't live like this. If you go right, I go left. You go left, I go right. But look, we got to split. We got to get out of here. So, Pasuk says like this. But you should like the saying of, Light picked up his eyes. He saw the whole plain of the Jordan River. It was all watered. It was an abundance of, it was very fertile land. The Fnei Shachai Hashem, because this is before Hashem destroyed Zedem and Amedo, Kagan Hashem carried to Mitzrayim, like the land of Egypt. It was like the garden of Hashem in the land of Egypt, going towards Zohar, which was the name of the city. Basically, the city of Zedom and Amora, that area was extremely fertile. So Light sees, you know, this is great land to go to. He didn't care that the fact that the people were rotten, the people were terrible people. He didn't care about that. He saw dollar signs. Fertile land. And he said, that's what I want to do.
Business was good.
Business was good. Everything was great. He wanted to go. He had a lot of mashke. Now, Egypt was irrigated by the Nile. So therefore, this was like fertile land. Just like Egypt was fertile from the Nile. Vayivchalei Lot. Okay, so listen to what it says. Yivcha Lot chose then, called Kikar Hayad, he told Avram, okay, you know what, I'm going to the Zedom. Vayisa Lot Mikadem, and Lot journeyed from the east, Vayipardu Ishmi Alochiv, and they separated themselves one from the brother. Okay, now, what happened over here, even though they were wicked, he did not, and therefore it says an interesting thing. It says, Vayivchar Lot. It should say Vayivchar Lot. Lot picked. What do you mean Vayivchar Lot? He picked it by himself. He didn't even consult with Avram Avinu. He just did it himself. Vayivchar Lot. He picked for himself. Lot. The Mepharshim say he didn't even discuss this.
60.
Page 60 on top. Well,
that's what Avram had told him to do. Though. So why are they're trying to make him look bad there?
Who did he make look bad?
Lot. Avram said to him, you choose.
Yeah.
So what? So he asked.
Yeah, but he should have consulted. Listen, Avram was his older mentor. He should have discussed the fact with Avram. I mean, he said, listen, this is what I would like.
What Avram told him to do that.
Yeah, but he should have still consulted. That's the lesson.
It would be nice.
Okay, so now like this. But he used to like me, Kadem. Rashi Ibn Ezra says he traveled in a westerly direction from Avram.
Where is it now?
What's Zedom was west of Bethel, but Mizrahi points out that the Jordan is actually east. So some of Farshim say that Lot didn't even want to tell Avram that he's going to Zedom. He went in the opposite direction of Zedom that Avram Avinu shouldn't think, because you understand, he's going to Zedom, there's rotten people. So he didn't want his uncle to think bad of him. You know, he still had that. So he didn't go straight towards Zedom. He went the opposite direction. That Avram Avinu should think he's going somewhere else. And then he made a U-turn. Once he was out of sight of Avram Avinu, he made the turn, and then he went towards Zedom.
So how did he find out later?
Yeah.
He found out because people eventually told him. But now, it says like this, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, another interpretation that Rashi brings down, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, and, Medrash says, Kedem means the first, Kadmeinu Shalalem. God is called Kedem, because he was the first one. Vayisa leit mikedem means he actually left God. He left serving God. He said, I don't want Avram. I don't want God. I don't want to have anything to do with this religion. But, well, that's what he said. You say Chas V'Shalom. Now, but the point is, he was still connected. Because we see he treated the Malachim nicely. When the Malachim came to him, he gave him matzahs. So something rubbed off. But the Mefarshim add to this, and they say like this, because it was so fertile, he said, what do we need God for? God he need for to give rain. God he need to give prosperity. This is a prosperous place without God. Who needs God? He said, I don't want God, and I don't want Avraham Avinu. That's what he said. He used to like Mikedem. Actually, the Mefarshim explained Mikedem. Rashi brings it down also. Light. Pick Mekadmeinu Shalelem. I don't want neither Avraham. I don't want his God. And all that. Okay? And therefore, the Taz brings down, other Mefarshim say, that, one second, that Light was actually embarrassed to tell Avraham that he picks his name. He still had respect. Even, you know, it's interesting. Those days, you're a rebel, but you still had respect. You rebelled respectfully. That's what, not like nowadays. They rebelled respectfully. The Taz says he'll push it embarrassed to tell him.
Not parking in the shul parking lot in Shabbos, but a few blocks away.
A few blocks away, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, it's not enough. What?
Was the Torah given at this time?
No. Torah is Avraham Avinu's time, seven generations later.
So why should the guy...
Yeah, but Avraham Avinu preached the oneness in God, the seven Noahic laws.
Yeah, but just because he preached it doesn't mean someone else has to believe it.
Yeah, but Avraham... No, it was an obligation of all the nations to believe in God. It's one of the seven...
Why, at that time?
Yeah, yeah, seven mitzvahs ben Enoch were given to Adam. And Noach. Okay, now it says like this. They left, they separated from the brother. Now, even though they separated, but the sparks of holiness still remained in light. Okay? Because, it's interesting. Because of this, the Mefarshim would say, you know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that a male convert from Amin and Moav, which were the descendants of Light, the two descendants, when Light had the relation with his two daughters, there was Amin and Moav, so the Torah says, Leisavi Amini Umayavi Bekal Hashem. A male convert, even, from Amin and Moav cannot marry a Jewish girl. Okay? So, why was that punishment strict by them? The guy converted, why not? Because this represents Light, who separated himself from Avraham Avinu. So, and not only from Avraham Avinu, but from Hashem. So because he separated himself from Hashem, he was punished because of that, that his descendants, even when they convert, cannot marry a Jewish girl. But,
even after a few generations.
Yeah. Now, yet, Ruth, the female converts from Amin and Moav, did come from Light, who was the forebearer, the ancestor of David HaMelech, and the ancestor of Mashiach. So Light still retained sparks of connection from Avraham Avinu, but the male guys, you know, they couldn't convert because that's what Light did. So the men were punished, not the women, that if they converted, they could marry Jewish men. Okay, so what happened over here? Avraham Yashiv Eretz Canaan. Avram lived in the land of Canaan, and therefore it doesn't say any particular place. Why doesn't it say any particular place? And Mefarshim explained, Rabbah explains, because he didn't live in one place. Avram Avinu walked, he was a Chabadnik. He went around from place to place spreading Yiddishkeit. So therefore, it says he lived in the land of Canaan. Canaan is a country, seven nations, right? He doesn't say where in Canaan, because he kept moving around. But like Yosheb Aria Kikor, like originally moved around in the plains of the Kikor, okay, but Vayal Atzadayn, and he basically pitched his tents for shepherds as for all the way as Daim. Or as the Mefarshim explained, like what's the name? The Radak says, like kept moving around, Kikor Aryad, and Vayal Atzadayn, until he finally settled in the country as Daim.
Probably if Sidon, they were not very hospitable. They would stretch the body of the guys who would come in and do all of these things.
Shrink them, yeah.
Yeah. So how did he get in?
He saw money, dollar signs.
I know, but how did they let him to get in?
Oh, they weren't that bad at that time.
They got worse
as time went on.
But how long did he live in Sedom? The transformation to bad to
from here,
real bad.
From here,
how many years?
Okay, I'll tell you. From here, Avraham over here was 75. Avraham Avinu had his bris at 100. Which is 25 years later than this, yes? 25 years later than this. Then the Malachim came and Light was still in his name. So Light lived, and then they destroyed his name and Light ran away, right? So he lived in his name about 25 years. 24 years. And then he went to the various different places. Okay. Anshi's Zdein and the people of Zdein, Royim, Vechatoim, were wicked and exceedingly wicked. Vechatoim and sinners, Lashem to God, Ma'ed, very, very, very bad. Okay? Now, what it means is like this. They were wicked. What's the double expression? They were Royim wicked. So it means they were adulterous. Okay? Then they were sinful with their money. They didn't give any money to the poor. And, or some people say the opposite, they were bad with their money. Rashi says, in fact, Royim, Rashi says, the Gufim with their body, Chatoim with their money, and then was Lahashem Ma'id. What do you mean they were bad to God also? The first two were between man to man. They're bad with their bodies and their money and that. Then it says, Lahashem Ma'id, they were extremely rebellious against God, and this was another uniqueness of Zdoim, that the Medrash says is the same klipa of Amalek. Amalek in Zdoim, Rashi quotes this, Yoidim Ribeinam Umetchavin Elim Ribein. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what was the uniqueness when it says the Pasuk, Lahashem Ma'id? They were very, very rebellious against God. What does it mean? They understood the greatness of God, and they rebelled against it. To explain this a little bit in Hasidic language, the seven nations of Canaan that the Jews conquered represent the seven emotional traits. The seven midot, like we have in Sfiras Seimas, seven times seven. So Canaan represents the evil emotional levels. Where do you have the intellectual emotional levels? Because Canaan was the seven emotional levels of rebellious against, meaning love of evil, fear of evil, pity of evil, everything evil, evil, evil. But where was the intellectual evil? That was Amalek and Zdoim. Zdoim, Rashi says, Yudayin is Rebainim, Mechavin Limerabay. Mean, the uniqueness of Amalek is worse than the nations of Canaan. There's no mitzvah to remember what Canaan did to you, or erase their names. Amalek is the worst evil level. Why is Amalek worse? Because Amalek were intellectuals. Zdoim were intellectuals. They understood the greatness of God, and yet they rebelled against him.
The Amalek.
And Zdoim. The same thing with Zdoim. In other words, a person that doesn't understand the greatness of God and rebels against them is not as bad as somebody who understands what God is and rebels against them.
So what was the motive?
So one second. Let me explain a few things. So when the Jews conquered Eretz Yisrael, they were only able to conquer the seven emotional levels, the seven midas. The Torah says, later on in Chumash, Im yarch ki yarch Hashem es gvolcho, when God will broaden the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, meaning when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk is referring to, then there's going to be three more nations, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. That's what the Pasuk says, these three nations. So Chassidus explains, when Mashiach comes, the intellect of evil will be transformed to Kedusha. Not only the seven nations of Canaan, which represents the seven midos, the seven emotional levels, actually the intellect of evil, which is a much stronger, powerful intellect, is stronger than midos. There's much stronger, powerful level of intellect, intelligence and intellect that rebelled against God. That's going to be transformed to Kedusha. That's going to be made up. What?
They have any connection to Amalek or no?
Yeah. So it's the same. Zdaim, Amalek. All these things have in common. Yeah. Yedeh Sri Bainai.
But they came out from Amalek or no?
No, not necessarily. No. But there's a story. There was a famous chassid by the name of Rabbi Itzhak the Masmid. He was the time of the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe. He was considered a Beinoni of Tanya. He was a very, very, very great man. So one time he said to the Rebbe Rashab that he speaks about the evil of Amalek. Yudeus Libeinu Mechavan Limerbei. He says, who is that? A person that learns Chassidus. When you learn Chassidus, what are you learning about? You're learning about God. That's what Chassidus is all about, godliness. And you're learning about God. So he wanted to say the statement, the Rebbe Rashab understood, he stopped him in the middle. He wanted to say to the Rebbe Rashab, you know who the real Amalek today is? Us Chassidim that learn about God and understand Chassidus, understand godliness, and yet we rebel against God. So we're the worst. But the Rebbe Rashab cut him mid-sentence, he understood what he wanted to say, and he just cut him off. But that was the uniqueness of Zdaim, and therefore it says, not Roim v'chatoim, they were bad, with their bodies, meaning they committed adultery, and Sodom, you know, Sodom was homosexuality, I mean, all these immoral things that they were doing, and Chatoim with their money, and Lashem Ma'ed, they actually rebelled against God, tremendously.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Really disturbing me a lot.
Did you sleep last night?
No.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow's Chumash. The same what you're telling that Hashem said, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. If you are not following my mitzvah, I'm going to do this to you.
What?
Is this the same time as right now, with this time of the parsha?
No, one second. I'm trying to figure it out. One second. Are the Jews still here or they're dead? The Jewish nation exists?
Yes.
With all those curses, we exist?
Yes.
Okay. Zdaim doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Hashem says in tomorrow's parasha, which is, Zdaim was so bad, their only punishment was extinction. Completely destroyed.
What's there in Saddam is any better today?
No, it's here all over the world. It's not any better. Now, the Jews, the difference is, the punishment that we read in this week's parsha, the Teichacha, right, the curses, is basically Hashem says, okay, you're not behaving, so I'm going to use very physical words for it. You're getting dirty, I got to clean you. What is the cleanliness? You know, years ago, before the washing machines came out, when you wash clothing, even today, when you wash clothing, if there was a heavy stain on it, you take a board, you know, you should remember this, and you scrub it, and you know you're basically torturing the garment. Yeah? But the only way, if you're going to make nice the garment, you know, nice, you're not going to get the garment clean. Correct? A garment that became very dirty, you got to be roughness on it. Yeah? Hashem says to the Jewish people, you sinned, you got very dirty, I need to clean you. Not destroy you, I will clean you. The curses, officially, which are hidden brachas, that the cleansing of the Jewish people through the curses is that they became clean, and we're still here. That's why after the real curses in Devarim, in Kisavai, what's right after Kisavai? Atem nitzavim ayayim kulcham. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, who says it to the Eden, obviously, you know what? With all these curses, God, you're still here. The Jews are still, and that's the difference. Zdaim, let's go off for another 2 minutes. In Jewish law, there's no such thing as prison term. I mean, sometimes Bezim would lock somebody up. We learn to keep them off the street until they find out what to do or whatever. But there is no punishment in Torah law of jail time. There's no 10 years, 18 years in life. There is no such thing in Torah. In Torah, what punishments do you have? Either you get whipped, Malchus, right? Or you get death. Now, you can have Bezdin kills you, Hashem kills you, the various different types of death. There is no concept of prison time in Torah. And there's a sicha, the Rebbe explains, why not? Because the purpose of a person's life is to be constructive. V'yinichel v'gan Eden, Hashem put mankind in Gan Eden, la'avda u'l'shamra, to work and be constructive. Adam la'amu yivaleh, a person was born, Eev says, a person was born to work. Amal, to make the word effort. Now, the purpose of a human, of a person, is to be constructive. Therefore, to put somebody in a prison, doing nothing, or basically nothing, yeah, they have this job, that job, they're basically sitting around doing nothing. So number one, usually what happens, they become more hardcore criminal. So the Rebbe says in Torah, there's no such thing as jail time. What does Torah believe in? Torah believes in rehabilitation. Torah believes in rehabilitation. Get the people back, make them back normal, that they can become productive.
Immediate rehabilitation.
To become productive human beings again. Then the Rebbe explained, sometimes the crime of the person, what they did, doesn't allow them to be, in other words, their actions of evil were so bad, God doesn't allow them to be constructive anymore. So therefore, what's the punishment? Death, either by Hashem or by Bezdin. Malchus is a cleansing. Certain averes, you eat treif, right? You warn everything, you eat treif. So you need to be cleansed. So you need to get a good whipping. But not a whipping as a punishment. The whipping is a cleansing for the evil that the soul did. Okay? So, by a Jew has to be constructive. So therefore, all punishment in Torah is really chesed. It's kindness. Because it's a cleansing, a purification, that you're out of it. You're not dirty anymore. You're not impure anymore. You're back into normal society. Sometimes a person did such crimes that their actions don't allow them to be continuing, be constructive. So therefore, the Hashem says the punishment is death. But Zdeim was so bad that Hashem said there's only one way to get rid of him. Is punish him. That they all die.
So scary.
What's scary?
Living in Sodom.
Life is scary.
Yeah.
Life is scary. Well, what are the options? What are the alternatives?
This is your life, there's punishment.
No, what's the alternative of living?
Dying is scary too.
Okay. That's only during dying. Once you're dead, you're dead. Okay, Hashem Amar al Avram, Hashem said to Avram, after he parted late Me'imai, after light separated from him, and I'll explain this in a second, but Rashi says, as long as light was with Avram, Hashem didn't speak to Avram. That's what Rashi says. That's where the Pasuk emphasizes, calls man Sharash Imai, Hoyadir Perish Mimenu. Okay? And that's why, when Hashem said, Lech Lecha, this is Rashi quotes, Lech Lecha means go yourself, don't take light with you. But Avram was a nice guy, so he took light with him. So the Kli Yakar asks over here a very interesting question. We find Hashem spoke to him the whole time when light was there. Hashem spoke to him the whole time.
But not about everything he's going
to
give him.
So the Kli Yakar says, Hashem Tak has spoke to him before. But not what he's telling him now. Yeah. Now he's telling him, your kids are getting the land.
Yeah.
Why didn't he tell this to him before?
Lod was greedy.
No, because Avram was punished.
Oh.
Avram took light with him because he said, listen, I have no children. He will be my inheritance. Hashem said to him, that's not what he told you. I told you, your kids are going to do it. Your kids are going to inherit you. Avraham Avinu, I don't know, we wouldn't use the word doubt, Chas V'Shom, but Avraham Avinu, this is what the Kol Yoker explains. Hashem didn't tell him that, but he says to him now, Sona Einecho Re'ei, pick up your eyes and see, Min Amokim Asher Ato Shom, where you are, you should look, Tzafayna, Negba, Kedma, V'yama, North, West, North, South, East, and West. By the way, it's interesting, the Mefashim explain, they've been on what, you know the directions, north, south, east, and west? So in Hebrew it's called Tzafen. Why is north called Tzafen? So Nefashim explained, Tzafen means hidden. Because the sun is hidden from the north pole. The closer you are to the mid, to the equator, the warmer it gets. Right? So in the north, the Mefashim say Tzafen means hidden, and therefore it doesn't shine there like it shines further south. Negba, why is Negba called south? Because Negev means drying. Dry, right? Mean the drier climate of Eretz Yisrael, southern desert. So because southern Israel was dry, that's why it's called, south is called Negba, because Negev means dry. Kedem means before. East, why is east called Kedma?
Gan Eden.
Huh?
They came from Gan Eden.
No, because the sun comes up in the east. So where does Kodem, where does first come from the day? Where does the day begin? From the east. Right? And the last in Yama, why is Yama called west? Because the Mediterranean is west of Israel, which is Yam. And therefore, because Yama, the Yam is west of Israel, west is called Yama. What's that? Lahavdil. You know, it's something in America called news. The news. So they say, why is news called news? News stands for north, east, west, south. The word news stands for north, east, west, south.
Really?
Well, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I could.
Well, you could. It does. It's north, east, west, south.
You say so.
That's what the word stands for.
Because you were saying the day begins, yeah, the sun comes up in the east.
Yeah.
But in the Jewish calendar, the day begins at sundown.
Yeah, but not the light, the light of the day. Yom means light, day. You're right, the halachic night begins at night, but I'm saying day actually is when it's light. That's why it's called the rising, early.
The moon rises in the east.
All the planets rise in the east and set in the west. Because...
That's why we rotate.
No, because that's what it says in Pasuk Tehillim. Oh. In our Lukas that we say every day in davening, Halu Shemesh V'Yareach, the sun and the moon praise God. Halu Kokrech V'Er, all the stars praise God, right? Yeah. Now, how does the moon and sun praise God?
By bowing down.
So it says the sun comes up in the east. Not only the sun, all the stars, everything. They come up in the east. Yeah? And they set in the west. Now the Gemara says Shechina b'mayrev. The Shechina is in the western part of the world. So when the sun and the moon come up in the east, just look at the motions. It's a bowing motion. So they're all bowing to Hashem. And that's what David HaMelech said. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Halu Hashem and Hashem, Halu Shemesh v'Yareach, Halu Kol Kerech v'Yared. How do they praise Hashem? They praise Hashem because they're actually bowing towards the Shechina in the west.
But you don't think it has anything to do with the rotation of the earth?
It does, but why did Hashem make it that way?
Okay.
The sun doesn't have free choice to get up in the east. The sun doesn't have free choice to get up in the east and set in the west. It doesn't have the free choice. But this is the way Hashem made it, because that's the way they daven to Hashem. Okay, so now Hashem said like this. The Medrash says, Hashem said, just stand where you are, yeah, and look, all around. Hashem did a miracle, the Medrash says. Hashem miraculously caused him to view the entire land from where he was. And that's why, the Medrash says, in this respect, Avraham Avinu was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told God he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Over there, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Alei Reisha Pisga," in the Zayin Bracha, the end of Chumash. "Alei Reisha Pisga," go up to the top of the hill. "V'soi Nachu Re'ei," and Hashem then said, "Open up your eyes and see the land." Right? But Avram, Hashem said, "Stand where you are. You don't even have to go anywhere. Stand where you are, and you can see the whole land." What's interesting, in a few psukim in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hashem says, "Kum misalich ba'aretz la'arkol lorachba." Go walk around the land. Walk around the whole border of the land. So here he tells him see, and over there he tells him go. So which one is it? So Mefarshim explained very interestingly. There was the spiritual aspect of Eretz Yisrael and the physical aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Here Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, look, why did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu Eretz Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, "I want to go into Eretz Yisrael." So the Medrash says, Rashi quotes, "V'chi la'echol mipiril tzarech." Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to eat Jaffa oranges. He wanted to eat Israeli figs. I mean, what did he have to go into Eretz Yisrael for? He said, "There's a lot of mitzvahs you can only do in Eretz Yisrael." So Hashem said to him, "You know what? I'll consider it as if you did it." So how did he consider he did it? By Moshe Rabbeinu looking all over Eretz Yisrael, he spiritually seeing is spiritual. He spiritually acquired the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael. How does he acquire the physical land? You have to acquire it. There are nations there. You have to acquire it. So he actually walked around the perimeter of the whole land, salich la'arko l'rachba, and that's how he physically acquired it. That was the physical acquisition of Eretz Yisrael, and the spiritual acquisition of Eretz Yisrael was Avraham Avinu looking at the whole land. That's how the Mefarshim explained.
But he was there anyway.
Huh?
But he was there anyway.
Who? Yeah, but he was in one part of the land. He just came to the beginning of the land. And then Hashem says, look all over the place.
So in order to acquire something, you have to covet it.
Huh? Well, that's one of the ways of acquiring land. In a few parshas, when Avraham Avinu bought Mordechai and Machpelah, you know, for 400 shekel kesef over la secher.
What's 400 between friends?
Yeah. But it says that it says in his farim that everyone brings the Talmud. It says in the brother, I think it's the brother of the Malmi Prok says that based on the calculations of redeeming fields in Vayikra in this week's parsha. So when Avraham Avinu paid 400 silver coins, you redeem a certain field size for 50 shekel kesef. Now, Avraham Avinu paid 400 shekel kesef. It comes out, how much land did he redeem? 600,000 square cubits, 600,000 square amas. Based on the measurements of 50, how much land you redeem by that? So when he redeemed 400 shekel kesef, which is 8 times the 50, he actually acquired an amma by an amma with money for every single Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Every Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael because Avraham Avinu bought a square amma for 600,000 neshamas. We're all offshoots of that. So he actually bought land in Eretz Yisrael. Besides the fact that he walked around, besides the fact that God gave him the land, besides the fact that Bereshit Bara Elokim and said, you know, he gave it to the, in addition to that, he actually paid it.
What's the parameters of the borders of Israel according to Torah?
Goes to Lebanon. 500 amas by 500 amas.
I know, but no. Syria and those?
No.
You say part of different, all of these things are part of it.
Exactly what it is.
It's bigger than that.
No, Takam is Harabayas.
500 parts?
500 parts by 500 parts or something like that. 400 parts maybe.
But like, what does it include? I mean, it includes some of the neighboring countries.
Biblical Israel. Whatever the boundaries are, the parts of Masi. But the biblical Israel was acquired. But, so every Jew, one more interesting point. Yerushalayim belonged to the Jews. Yet David HaMelech bought Yerushalayim from Ravna, that there shouldn't be any questions. The Mokum HaMikdash. Even though it was the Jews anyway. It was given to the Jewish people. But he paid cash that nobody should be able to say not. Maris HaMachpelah, even though it's part of Eretz Yisrael, belongs to the Jews. Avraham Avinu paid cash for it. He didn't want any lay monkey business people saying, So they paid cash for Maris HaMachpelah and Har HaBayis, Yerushalayim.
And we still have problems.
So how many square miles?
It's a little bit smaller than it is.
What?
I think it's part of
what's that? What's that? Guys, what's that? What? Louder.
I said,
when you go to Israel and buy an apartment, yeah?
Is it like your share, you're buying it now? Or
you're buying an apartment that when the share comes, we all go there, we're going to stay by you. That's why you're buying it. Okay, so he says like this. Ki kolas ki es tezvav. Ki es kol ha'aretz asher atah ro'ah, all the land that you see, and miraculously he saw the whole Eretz Yisrael without glasses. L'cha etnana, I gave it to you, I will give it to you. U'lazarach unto your children, ad elam forever. What is Hashem adding here forever? That even when the Jews will go into Golos, they'll be exiled from the land, I did that many times. Eretz Yisrael still belongs to the Jews. The biblical pasuk, not Jordan and not any of those countries, Syria, Egypt. It belongs lochadna to forever. Okay, that's what the doc says. Even in Golos, it's theirs forever. Even though the Jews don't always occupy Eretz Yisrael, and there was historically a time that there are no Jews in Israel, right? But they, okay. And I'm going to make your children, you're talking to me, you don't have any children, so I'm going to make your children numerous, like the dirt of the ground, of the earth, of the dust of the earth. So that just one can count the dust of the earth, then your offspring will be counted, meaning in a negative way. Just like nobody, you know, can count the dirt, they're not going to be able to count how many children you're going to have. Okay? Now, why is this, why are the Jews likened to the, no, it's telling me, but sometimes they're likened to Chaychei HaShemayim, sometimes they're likened to the stars of the heaven, sometimes they're likened to Chol HaYom, V'samti Yezarach HaChol HaYom Asher Yisof HaMirov. Some days are likened to the sand of the sea. Some things are likened to the dust of the ground. What's the story? Are we stars? Are we dirt? Are we sand? What is the thing of the Jew?
All of the above.
Okay. So he says like this. Concerning the dirt, the Medrash says like this. Just like dust is from one end of the earth to the next, there's going to be Jews from one end of the world to the next. Just like dust of the earth can only be blessed with water, one of the things to grow, you need water. The Jews who are likened to earth will only grow with Torah, which is likened to water. Dust as the dirt wears out even metal utensils, yet it lasts forever. The Eden will exist while the nations of the world will cease to be. Just like the dust of the earth is trodden upon, so your children be downtrodden in the heel of foreign powers when the Jews are in Golos. Just as the dust outlives those who tread on it, Hashem said to Avram, your sons are going to outlive all the nations that persecute you. So basically, this is all the greatness of earth. Sometimes, the Jews are likened to Kirch HaShemayim. So the Medrash says, when the Jews are on a lofty level, they're likened to the stars. When the Jews are on the lower level, they're likened to the dirt. And then there's another time. Kernels of sand are nothing, right? But when they're on a beach, you have trillions, whatever it is, and they're all standing in unity, they can hold back the most powerful waves of the ocean. Think about it. Each sand, kernel of sand, is nothing. It's worthless. But when they stand together united, so then the most powerful powers of the world cannot go through them. So therefore he says like this. When the Jews are on a lofty level, they're like stars in the sky. They give light. when they're on a low level, they're earth. But even earth on a low level is the only thing that produces. What produces something from nothing? You put in a seed, it rots, out comes a tree. So what? That's only the earth. Not, you can't plant on the stars. And the chelayam, it says, what does that mean? When the Jews are united, then they hold back all the mighty powers of the enemy. And when they're individuals, they get washed away. But that's the greatness of the Jewish people. But he says, your children won't be able to be counted. There'll be so many things. Now, the Mefashim will ask a question over here. Not over here, in different places. The fact is, the Jews weren't like the dirt to the ground, numbers-wise. The Jews were always, right? The Pasuk says, you guys are the least of all nations. What do you mean, kafara adet, and kecheichle ha-shemayim? So it's the Mefashim explained, it doesn't mean in quantity, it means in quality. In quality, the Jews are likened to the stars and the dirt, but they're not in physical numbers, they're not likened to that. Because the fact is, they weren't. Throughout history, count all the nations, whereas the Pasuk itself says, Atama ma'at mikol ami, the least, the fewest of all nations. What?
Because
we don't keep Hashem's will well enough, so that's why we'll fulfill this prophecy.
No.
Okay, you know what? We'll just finish last pasuk. Vayal Avram, Avram 10 made his tent. Now finally moved to Chevron. Finally settled down. Even Shem Mizbeach Hashem, he built a Mizbeach to Hashem for the thanking Hashem, the Barbanel says, for the promise he just got. Number one, that he's going to have kids, and they're going to inherit the land and all the other blessings. So, thank God for what he did.
Thank God.